I guess the first thing is to go around back and make sure that we get an introduction. So I'm Ron London. I'm the area plan director for Evansville and Vandenberg County.
Glenn Schmidt, city engineer for the city of Evansville.
So you're the superintendent of MPO?
Aaron Treifer, MPO.
Paul Wojciechowski, all the planning and design. How does it go?
John Stoll, Vandenberg County engineer.
Craig Lindsay with MPO.
John Picosi with the office associates.
Doug Williamson with the engineer.
Doug Johnson with the MPO.
Nick Paul, MPO.
Terry Agan, MPO.
And John, MPO.
I'm Kimberly Worth with the MPO.
Richard Miller with the MPO.
Laura Williams with the MPO.
Jason Worth with the MPO.
Doug Burton with the manager of the city of Evansville.
Randy Mishler, NDOT.
Laura Lewis with NDOT.
Denise Johnson, Park Department, Evansville.
Rob Schaefer, Evansville.
Thank you. We have everybody had a chance to look over the minutes. We have a motion to approve minutes of last month's meeting.
So moved.
We have second. All in favor? All right. Old business. Conference this week, so I just came. I'm all invigorated and charged up to do this presentation. So this is, so I said, well, I can't be here today because I got to go to Evansville and talk to people about the Evansville Life Plan, which is an exciting plan. I'm just going to go over the plan elements. So we have an introduction that introduces people to the plan. We have existing conditions that we did. We did a lot of looking at what's out here now. We have a section on public involvement, because that's key to any plan. Reaching the people and making it your plan. Now all this plan, this is your plan, we just facilitated the development of it. So we talked a lot about the public involvement activities that we did. Vision, goals, and objectives, any plan has to be based on a clear vision, clear goals, and clear objectives. Along with that, from there on out, and when you implement the plan, that ultimately guides your plan decision making. Just like with a comprehensive plan in the city, that should be the guiding light for implementing the plan. And then we have detailed recommendations and then a section on how we're going to implement the plan, because there's only one good plan and that's one that's implemented. And that's one thing that if anybody knows me or anything I do, plan is not going to sit on the shelf. And I tried to work with Aaron and Craig and Saeed to make sure that we've got a plan that's not just going to sit there. It's going to be active. It's going to be on people's radar screen on a continuous basis, city's basis, continuously, so that it gets implemented. Because the only good plan is one that's implemented. So starting off with a vision, it's a long vision statement, but this is what our advisory committee told us. Evansville Tramway Roadway System will comfortably, safely, and efficiently facilitate bicycle and pedestrian transportation for users of all ages and abilities. The linking of local and regional attractions will make the city and tri-state destination for bicycle and pedestrian activities. Walking and bicycling will become a common, enjoyable, and viable transportation and recreation choice that will lead to healthier lives, smarter community investments, a better environment, and a brighter future for Evansville and its residents. That kind of encapsulates the whole thing. That's one. That's a great. I was actually involved in the vision statement, so you did a good job in that. Just going over the goals. The first goal is the Bike and Ped Network will connect residents and visitors to one another in places they want to go. Connectivity is really a key to any active transportation plan or transportation plan in general. If you're trying to get people from one place to another. Biking and walking will be a safe and accessible form of transportation recreation for all ages and abilities. We have to consider all the users. People with disabilities need to get around. You've got to maybe be cognizant of that. And I like to think on an 8 to 80 perspective, 8 years old to 80 years old, we have to really accommodate all those users when we think about our system and make sure that somebody that's not comfortable, I can ride on any road, but not everybody like me. So we have to accommodate all those type of users when we think about our routes and our connections. Biking and walking will support healthy and active lifestyles, increase transportation equity, and enrich the quality of life for all Evansville residents. That's really the foundation of why we did the plan and why we started this effort in the first place. Community leaders and local agencies will bring value bicycling and walking and integrate these forms of transportation planning, policy, and capital improvement decision making. A lot of what we're talking about in the plan is policy level decisions, and that's where it starts. There is some capital decision making that goes on, but really it's a change in thinking. The thinking, biking and walking is an integral part of the overall transportation network. At some point years ago, cars became really the main thing that everybody designed for. But really, the whole transportation network is people. We're designing the system for people. That's the core of that goal. And then the fifth goal is local agencies will support biking, walking through continual monitoring, evaluation, and planning. So
My mission, implementation of plans. We've got some action steps in here that kind of lead to evaluating how well the plan's doing on a regular basis. So it's not just we're going to do this plan and we're going to see how it goes. We're going to actually, we've got action steps to measure how well the plan is being implemented using performance measures that are tied to that vision and these goals. One thing that elected officials and other business leaders, we have to really get at key points as to why this plan is even developed. And these are cut sheets for a little fold-out, and you've got the fold-out there. But it's kind of based off of something that I developed personally. This is a small file. You can do it in bigger size, too, so it can come to this size. So this is what it was patterned after. It's a document that shows the benefits of bicycling in real quick order. So this gives the overview of it, and then you can dive into more detail and look at the plan itself. But this document, these are pieces of document that we developed that actually guide what the benefits of bicycling are. Safe streets for all users, increased purchasing power from accommodating the active transportation modes. There's a lot of environmental benefits and a significant amount of health benefits. And that's just becoming more prevalent. So it's not just all about the engineering. It's a lot about the education, encouragement, and environmental benefits of what this plan, when implemented, and as we implement it, can produce. There are a lot of economic benefits, places that are seen as have a high quality of life, which a lot of these the recommendations and actions out of this plan are going to produce, really provide economic benefits, and that's what really resonates with business owners, city governments, because the better the place will live and the higher the quality of life, the more people want to come and live here and do business, spend money. So that is also a key element of why we're doing the plan. So the planning process, engagement is critical to any planning process. And then, of course, we initiated the project in spring of 2014, did significant existing conditions analysis to make sure that we get down what the existing conditions in Evansville look like to make sure that we knew where we were going to go and what we needed to improve on. Develop the draft plan, present the draft plan, go through it a few times. Tweak it to make sure that this is a plan that wasn't just something that was on paper and we just got thrown on the shelf. And yeah, we did this plan. We went over this multiple times to make sure that the final result of the plan that was going to excite people, inspire implementation, and be continuously used to really take Evansville into the future. And this is not a, you know, 5-year type thing. It's going to take a while. You have to take opportunities. We talk a lot about taking advantage of opportunities when they occur. So it's not just a one and done, and we're just going to get this done in 5 years and we're going to be done. Well, it would be great if that happened, but most plans take a little while. So you have to keep that implementation effort going and keep the momentum going throughout the whole life of this plan. And then final recommendations, of course, and then you're here today with presenting the plan for adoption and implementation. Have you already started talking about implementation with getting a town program up and running? So we've already been working with the staff at the NPO to try to get that rolling right away.
Joel, Bob, are we out there doing it?
And that's what, that's, so, like I said, it's all about implementation and getting things going and getting people excited about it. So, the process, of course, we got this, all these existing conditions, all this range, funneling it into analysis and recommendations, looking at what benefits, what opportunities, regarding operations and the overall network, and then culmination of the draft plan. And this bottom pyramid is really getting into implementation, so identify those high priority initial actions, and we've got a list of those. I'm just going to talk about a few of them today. And then we got medium priority implementation and then long-term implementation. So I like to take in your stuff that we're going to do right now and keep that momentum up. So you can see we're building this momentum up again. So we have the sign momentum here, and then of course as you get to the end of the plan document, you might say, wow, we just want to get the implementation. So that's where I start picking up the effort again and getting people charged up and going. So we built this plan on this 5E, but there's actually 6, it's probably 7. The E's are increasing. So when I say E's, engineering, education, enforcement, encouragement, evaluation, and then the 6D is equity. The 7D is actually economics. So that's economics and equity. But the 2Es is, if you look at the League of American Bicyclists, they've got 5Es, but equity is becoming increasingly important, and so is economics. You know, what value is this going to bring you? So a lot of economic analysis is done on how this benefits the community. Well, why do we want to invest in this? It's got to be those economic benefits in a lot of cases. So it's becoming more prevalent. Engineering is just one facet of this. It's usually the biggest costing one, but encouragement and public policy are also critical to the plan. When we go into that quite a bit, encouraging people to ride bikes. Because the whole reason we're doing this is to get people riding bikes and active so they have it. Encourage that healthy lifestyle. Education is critical for motor vehicle users as well as bicyclists. One thing that I always get from people all around, those bicycles on, they stop signs and look at them. And traffic signals, they won't be able to obey the rules of the road. Education is critical to that, and providing those opportunities for educating bicyclists on cycling. I'm an LCI, which is a LEED certified instructor for bicycle training. So it's critical for the bicyclists, but we also have to get information out to the drivers. I talk to a lot of drivers that say, I come up on a bicycle, I don't know what to do, I don't know what they're going to do. Well, we educate the cyclists to be predictable and visible. We can educate those motorists to say that that bicycles riding effectively is going to be predictable, so pass at a safe distance. So I look at that too, because I start out with the Missouri DOT, but highway guy for a long time, and I kind of tweaked into more of a transportation guy. So I'm concerned with the motorists as well as bicyclists and pedestrians, so cover all those bases. Enforcement, that's critical too. Law enforcement, applying laws and rules of the road equally across the board for motorists as well as bicyclists, and getting them in the face. And you're in the police department in Evansville, is already out there with bike patrols, is doing a lot of education. So that they are critical to this whole thing, and that's for the safety of the overall streets. And then evaluation, we've got some ideas on doing a report card on a biannual basis. I think we talk about every 2 years, we have a recommendation and a plan. And that just makes sure that we're watching things, we're saying, this is going real good, this is where we need to step it up a little bit, so it gives everybody a good, the report card I've been using recently, I give grades, everybody knows what an A means, everybody knows what an F means. We actually have a couple D's on the plan that I work on a regular basis, so that's just a sign that we need to pick up that element, those 5 E's. And then, of course, equity, make sure that we apply things to all users kind of equally, and make sure that we're serving all the districts and areas of the city in an equitable way. So community engagement, we have a steering committee that we work with quite a bit to develop a plan. We had focus groups, stakeholder interviews. We had a few public meetings, several pop-up meetings, an online presence. And then the real goal of any plan is to carry that engagement into implementation. So when you do projects, or when you implement projects, it's really critical to make sure the public's engaged in what you're doing. A lot of people don't know what a protected bike lane is, or what a proper bike lane is, or even what a share lane marking is in a lot of cases. So when a motorist comes up on a share lane mark, what the heck is that? What am I supposed to do? And then, so telling people what they're seeing when you implement it, that's all part of community engagement through implementation. And then, no plan is perfect. So what we did is set the table for what the vision of the future is. So when you get into implementation, and engineers in the room know that a plan is one thing, but when you go to put it on the street, you know, a lot of streets are kind of like this. You know, they range in width, so one thing you can get on one piece of one segment of the street may not be what you can do on another one, so you have to engage people on how it's going to affect them. It's going to go by the front door. What's it going to do for me? And let allow them the input and not just drop it on them when they go to construct it. That's really critical, and that's all part of the engagement through implementation. So evaluation, like I mentioned, the report card. This is the report card we use. You can see we got the paddles and get A's to encouragement, and we got out for enforcement, because we were supposed to do some enforcement training last year in the plan I was working on. So yeah, we gave ourselves an L. That wouldn't be given an F. That was our steering committee that continued in the implementation. They gave the overall effort an F, because we just couldn't educate the number of police officers that we wanted to. Actually, in St. Louis, we have other issues right now, so we're concentrating on those. So the count and the count program is another piece of the evaluation. How do you know you're increasing the number of people on bikes and actually counting people on bikes and walking? So that's one thing that I helped Aaron and Greg kind of lift off, and you know, decided to lift off just a couple weeks ago, starting the count program. So now, this is the kind of the baseline, and then knowing next year to keep it ongoing and to see where we're going. Are the things we're doing, are they having those benefits that we all expect? That's one way that we measure it. The report card looks at the goals that we set for each of the E's to make sure that we're actually taking those actions and making progress on those actions. And it's not really to kind of call anybody out. So if you don't have the ongoing bike committee kind of nailed down in the first year, that's okay. It took us 3 years to get a committee together because there was a lot of moving parts to it. So it's just to keep you on track and to say we need to be doing this. And if you see it over and over again, kind of jog your memory on a regular basis and doesn't let it kind of fade out of you. And then, of course, crash analysis. Another key thing to look at is that there's some high crash locations that are identified that involve bikes and pedals. Those are some spot locations you can actually try to look at and see what you can do to fix those on a regular basis. So that's also important, because we want more people biking. We want minimized crashes. Those are kind of two main points of any plan. Some plans just have those as their two goals. You have five goals, but those are a key part of those five goals. Education, these are some recommendations that are out of the plan. We got way more detail in the plan, but saving up the school programs, developed bicycle education classes, youth education classes. We want kids learning how to bicycle safely right off the bat. And once you learn one thing, you can keep, that's when it starts. Start when the brains are fresh. These adults are a little harder to teach, actually. Bike and pedal information clearinghouse, make sure there's one source of information, and the MPO kind of
as a clearinghouse. I know on our plan in St. Louis, we use the MPO as a clearinghouse and try to feed everything into the MPO. And this is a great spot, it's great to house things. And then comprehensive overall safety education campaign. Project related community outreach. That's another thing. Educate on what we're seeing on the roads. What's a bite box? What's a green bite mark? Law enforcement, of course, law enforcement training. There's programs across the country for law enforcement officers, and the training that we held a couple times in St. Louis, and actually the St. Louis Police Department developed a video, so they wouldn't have to send people to a training. They actually have a video that they get to their office on a regular basis. That's another way to do it effectively, so when new officers come on the force, you can educate them on elements of bike lane and enforcing traffic laws across the board for motorists, bikes, and pets.
Do you have an
opinion? The St. Louis Police Department, I can visit on YouTube. You can
see all of our officers go on YouTube and look up any
lessons. I'll check with the police chief to see if it's posted. I do have a copy of it. I do have a copy of it, so I'll let him kind of communicate with you on that. So it's a pretty good video. We have target enforcement. As far as enforcing laws, really it's critical to, a lot of people, if they're riding in a lane, like a shared lane situation, they may not feel comfortable. So target enforcement in cases will help people feel more comfortable on the roadway. And that's another great thing enforcement does. The bicycle control unit, you've got that. And then driver safety program. There's a lot of different fine details of the driver safety program. There's ticket diversion you can do so that people get a ticket for some kind of interaction with a bicycle. So you can actually make them take a bike training course maybe to get, say, okay, this is how bicycles have to interact. So it kind of encourages positive behavior with motorists. If they're in the shoes of cyclists, hopefully there's a positive result out of that. Encouragement, the street alive events are fantastic. I keep those going. Small grant program, possibly, for encouraging good behavior and spot improvements. National Bike to Work Week, day, week, month activities. If you go for, and Evan's got an honorable mention, is it correct? So if one of the goals is to get up to a bronze level by Prince City, you have to have the encouragement in these five national Bike to Work Week events. And trust me, if you're just concentrating on engineering, it's not going to cut it. I tried that in the city I live in as a councilman. And we implemented all these bikeways and stuff, but we didn't have the encouragement nailed down, and we got an honorable mention too, which we just implemented like 9 miles of new bikeways and trails, and we got honorable mention, which is what the heck. It would be encouragement. So they look at all these things, the whole package. Marketing campaigns to encourage bicycling, and then equity-based programs to make sure it gets into schools and different areas of the city. And then, of course, I'm going to go into engineering. Wayfinding is critical to the on-street network, trails. There's some wayfinding signage that exists for your pedestrian network as well as trails, but on-street wayfinding, and there's a lot of ways you can do that, from really fancy signs, like if anybody's been to the Cardinal game, and I heard there's a huge contingent of Evansville people at the Cardinal game last weekend. So if you see the old by St. Louis signs, those are not federal standard signs. You can't use federal money on those. They're fancy. They're paid for locally, but they really catch your attention. So there's a lot of ways you can do wayfinding, but it is critical. If you know where you're going, you're going to feel more comfortable, and you're going to want to ride it. Bike facility recommendations, we got a lot of those, and we went through those with a fine-tooth comb, and look forward for its implementation. In the trip facilities, if you don't have a place to park your bike, are people going to use their bikes for transportation? Probably not. So that's a bike rail that we just installed in St. Louis that I have my hand in. It really took the bike parking off the sidewalks, where of course people want to sit, and puts them in the street in the non-parking area. But you can take parking spaces too for those. I just couldn't do it in my case. Design guidance to provide the engineering professionals guidance on, okay, how are we going to do a buffered bike lane? How are we going to do a protected bike lane? Of course, it's just guidance. When you get into the design details, you know, engineers aren't bookmakers. We problem solve. So the guidance to problem solve with implementation of the plan. High priority locations, we've got cut sheets for 10 high priority locations that we provide detailed estimates for and guidance on what that bike width height should be. Of course, bike share at some point would be something that encourages more cycling and more shorter trips. Streetscape and traffic calming, getting those travel speeds between motor vehicles and bicycles in certain cases, using traffic calming and streetscape approaches are going to really decrease that speed difference and make it safer for everybody and make it safer for pedestrians as well as bicycles. So we've got markings in the plan, identified in the plan. We've got bike boulevards, greenways, bike streets, whatever you want to call them. They're low speed, low lighting streets that most people feel comfortable riding on, from kids up to older adults. It's keeping speed slow on those streets. Bike lanes, of course, you've got buffered bike lanes, which are just provide separation. It could be bumper on the left side, bumper on the right side, both sides, one side or the other, wherever the concern is. I'm a real door zone kind of, I'm really cognizant of door zone issues, so a lot of the bike lanes I just have been implementing are right side, parking side buffers to make sure that bicycles didn't have to deal with doors opening. That's a safety issue for bicycles. And then shared use paths we've got in here. We've got some side paths, and we have some cycle tracks, protected bike lanes, whatever you want to call them. I had the streets director in St. Louis yell at me for calling it a cycle track, so I called it a protected bike lane. It's fine. It's the same thing, just at a different rate. This is the network, and this is that mix of bikeway types that I just kind of outlined. And we also show the existing facilities and Pigeon Creek Relay shown on here in both implemented segments of that greenway as well as proposed. You can't really see it on the slide, but it shows the plan, greenway, long range, and then design. So we wanted to make sure it all showed up on this map to make sure that all these connections, so connecting between the trails to the North Street network, that really makes for an overall active transportation network. And we also did that for the pedestrian network, definitely a wider network, but we show all those recommendations for improvements to the pedestrian network along with the pedestrian overpasses that are planned and being implemented. We show those on the map and identify those. We identified recommended improvements in the green markings on the map, so we gave specific recommendations for each of those, and we attached the cost to all these items. The greenway is recreational, but it can be for transportation if connected in the right way, so we didn't want to forget about that. So we've documented that, and this one thing on our advisory committee, let's not be smooth side of the overall active transportation network. So implementation, this is one of those cut sheets for implementation along with the Walnut Street cycle track, type of bike lane, whatever you want to call it. In this particular buffer, in this case, that concept there, that's a visual representation of what that street would look like, and that would take a look. We do have a lot of road diets in this plan, and while we did the high-level analysis for a road diet, there always is the next steps. You have to do your traffic analysis for those road diets to make sure the traffic's going to operate and interact well with bicycling traffic. So there's a lot more steps, and there's engagement of the community and businesses, so there's a lot more steps. We did the initial step to say, okay, where could they occur? And that's in the plan. It involves the corridor description. It provides a good encapsulation of what that corridor looks like, and then plan recommendations of what we're talking about. So we've got a written description as well as a thorough description, and then a high-level picture of where that segment is that's attached to that sheet. We have the facility type, we've got a cost range. In the cost range, there is a low-cost way you can do a lot of things, and then there's, so you've got the easy to the forest. The forest is a pretty nice one. You got the compact versus the luxury car, right? You got a range of ways that you can implement anything, so we provide for that range by that cost range in the plan. So what are the primary policy actions for this plan? Well, number one, establishing that Evansville Active Transportation Committee, they're going to be the ones that are going to carry this forward. So establishing, taking the task force possibly and evolving it into the Active Transportation Committee. And a lot of times you call this a bike ped committee or a bicycle committee. I thought it was more appropriate to call it an active transportation committee. So this is probably the first one that I think I've ever called that. Complete funded projects you have on the boards, and then designate a funding source for carrying out the plan. Even a little funding source that picks up in the future, you have to have some focus and some way to implement the plan. There's a lot of cheap ways to implement the plan with just routine activities. So it could be small, it could be large, it could be in between, but the key is to start somewhere and establish that focus. So I'm not sure what you want to say to you about statewide actions, but I know FHWA over the last 2 days talking about complete streets approaches. They're really stressing flexibility and design nowadays, and FHWA representative is really reinforcing that. They're providing all kinds of new materials for urban and rural flexibility and design facilities to incorporate bicycle beds. So I know that's a national initiative that they're really pushing, and I know a lot of states are pushing that, and I can't really speak to Indiana, but I know you've got a lot more focus than you do now in Missouri. We're kind of can't do much right now. There's no money to do anything, and don't ask us. But the key priority goals, and this is just from Health by Design, is just to increase those active transportation options. And it's kind of redundant, but this is from a lot of organizations. Encourage responsible land use, improve neighborhood, city, regional connectivity, and reduce automobile dependence. It's not saying eliminate automobiles, it's just saying give people choices. Choices are good. So with that, I'm available for any questions you have. Okay. Thank you very much. Time for too long.
The only thing I like to, it seems like every time I get in on something that has to be advisable, it seems like, you know, you've got somebody there who's pushing it. You know, I want to ride a bike anyway, and you've got somebody there who says, oh, no, bikes are great for physical fitness. But I rarely hear a comment, and so I usually try to interject it myself. 25% of the adults in the area cannot afford an automobile.
bicycling is kind of the only way. Then you throw in all the DUIs, if you're getting out more liberally, et cetera, people just plain don't have a driver's license, not eligible for one. And so bicycling is a primary form of transportation is a serious need for a lot of people having to go. I think we see them every now and then, you see them out on the way to expressway or on Highway 41 or blocking a weird spot and, you know, the right in front of you or whatever. And part of it is that they're not using good sense, but part of it is we haven't really accommodated bicycle transportation. If you do an automobile ride correctly, the way you're supposed to do it, buy insurance on, keep it plated, keep it maintained at a reasonable level, that's about $6,000 a year. So you also have a lot of young adults who are maybe driving age that just are not in that economic level yet for an automobile. So I'd like to interject that it's very important for us to consider the bicycle as a primary transportation for our community.
And that's one big reason why I added that equity.
Yeah,
but, I mean that a lot for a lot of people that is their way of transportation, and so it's critical that we think about that. And I know in North City a lot of the law, I think that's what I got on the bike plan. Equity was big in St. Louis, so North City is really, you know, there's a lot of people that they use that bike for transportation. You can tell because they got the backpacks on. Now they're also the ones that need to be educated because they're usually riding on the sidewalk and they're riding on the way on the runway.
That was a good option.
So we got to get that equity has to be towards education too into the neighborhoods to make sure that we've got that equitable distribution of the education and encouragement.
When you come to a meeting like this, you see very few people who consider themselves rich. Well, I'm not like anybody else, but I don't see anybody just being like, they can't afford a car, or can't afford access to a car, but, you know, a good portion of the community.
Well, thanks a lot for having me here. It's always a pleasure to have you and Matt Bettis. Hopefully I'll be here more. It's amazing. Thank you, Bob.
I have one thing. This plan was really initiated from parts of the department in East Johnson. We're going to pass it on to her, and she's going to see her this plan for 5 years. I just want to thank you for initiating that. Yeah.
All right. I guess next, Greg.
Today we have one 15 state modification that was processed in September. You see that there on September 18th. It was a transit adjustment there, transit section 5310, the seniors and individuals with disabilities program administration. Literally just adding some designation numbers for that project and a small adjustment to the funding amount of fiscal 16 and 17. I believe it was 21,000 prior and the final number. So, no motion for approval needed for that. For your permission.
Anyone else have any comments or like to discuss anything?
Just one thing. I think everybody got an email that we changed the look. Did you get it? You should have
been
in your email. Oh, we did do the
second one? Oh, and
right, on this one.
What is your transition?
It's really not black and white, it's like color in. I don't know. Okay. That's what it looks like. It has. We thought the previous logo really didn't say what we do. And Aaron did a really nice job together. It said what we do and who we work for. Don't be alarmed if you hear that we got to the logo on.
I have one comment. Henderson Area Rapid Transit on next Friday, October 9th, is they're having their annual Tri-Transit Day. So they have free hot dogs, and they're really good, like ballpark type hot dogs and hamburgers. And you can ride their buses all day long for free. So, and that's October 9th. I just probably mentioned, I can't remember until quarterly statewide meeting or statewide state coming up again until last month, June 28th. I think we mentioned it on email.
Anybody else?
This is a coin that's a little long month, but...
Yes, that's it. Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is not, it is online, but it's on our website, so you have to have this link. So it's linked, but this, you can't go on the website and find it.
Okay, if we don't have anything else, I guess we'll have a bubble to adjourn, so.